There is a problem with a problem on this year's PSAT test. For those of you without anxious teenagers at home, it's the test students take the year before they take the SATs. And this year, a revised set of scores are heading for student mailboxes. Joining us now from his office in New York City to explain the situation is Lee Jones, Vice President of K-12 Development for the College Board, the group which administers the PSATs. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
First, let's go over the question. This is a portion of the exam that tests students' grammar. They're given a sentence and asked to pick out the error from a number of underlined phrases within it. Can you read us the problem?
Yes, the question reads as follows. Toni Morrison's genius enables her to create novels that arise from and express the injustice African Americans have endured.
And you have to pick out which particular part of that sentence was incorrect, or there's also a none of the above.
There's also a no error option, which in this case would be the same as none of the above. And there are four different sections of the sentence that are underlined and can be evaluated by students as possible errors.
Now, for those of our listeners who would like to go to our website to check out the text of this question a little more carefully, the address is www.npr.org. You have to go to the Talk of the Nation page on our website. That's, another test of another sort. But, Lee, the answer that the College Board originally had is correct was E, none of the above, right?
That's correct, that there was no error in the sentence.
Now, subsequently, you learned that this was challenged.
It was challenged. We heard in January from a teacher, Kevin Keegan. He's from James Hubert Blake High School in Silver Spring, Maryland. And he contacted us and challenged the item, claiming that, in fact, there was an error in the sentence and that the phrase, her to create, which would have been option A in this case, was, in fact, grammatically incorrect.
So what have you done in response to that?
We evaluated Mr. Keegan's claim. Many of our experts internally evaluated it, and as a result of some of the evidence that Mr. Keegan provided to us about grammatical rules that could indeed justify his point that phrase was incorrect, we submitted it to some outside experts, which would be our standard procedure, and they, in fact, did agree that based on more traditional rules of grammar that are still found in grammar usage manuals to which many students might have been exposed, that the sentence, Toni Morrison's genius enables her to create novels, actually included an incorrect phrase because her should refer to a noun preceding it. And in this case, even though it's correct idiomatic English, her referred to Toni Morrison's, which in this case was possessive.
Uh-huh.
Some traditional rules of grammar would say that that's an incorrect use of her and that it should have said Toni Morrison's genius enabled Toni Morrison to create or enabled Morrison to create novels that arise from and express the injustice African Americans have endured.
Or the writer or some other noun like that.
Correct, yeah. Exactly.
Now, when you went back and decided that there was a problem with the problem, did you then say, all right, if you answered, either one, none of the above, or that would have been B? Was that the choice there?
None of the above would have been E.
Yeah, E was none of the above, but the choice in the sentence
is A.
Is A. So you would have been right with either A or E, or you just threw out the problem altogether?
Well, actually, we threw out the problem altogether. After examining the choices that students had made, we decided that that was probably the fairest thing to do. Part of the rationale for that is that a significant number of students also omitted the question.
I see.
And we... although we can't know for sure, it's quite possible that some of the students who omitted the question did so because they were confused by the subtlety of the question and, for that reason may have omitted it. We felt that the best thing to do was to throw out the question altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Although once we threw out the question, we rescored, and students who then got the answer correct would have seen the increases in their scores on the PSAT. However, none of the original scores of students were changed.
So if you've been like me and guessed and happened to guess correctly and the problem's thrown out, I wouldn't have been penalized for that.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, the reason I guess this is news is because you don't get these things wrong very often.
Not at all.
And when was the last time that this happened at the college?
Well, you know, we were trying to look back at that, and I think this is the second question on the PSAT in a little over a decade where we've had a flawed question that we ended up dropping from scoring.
And it wasn't like, you know, the answer was Lincoln as opposed to Grant. I mean, this is a fairly abstruse point.
Right. And in fact, the experts that we talked about, that we talked to about this question, even had differing opinions about the degree to which the formal rule of grammar on which the teacher made the point should really be followed or not. It wasn't completely black and white even in their analysis. Although in the end, they said that certainly there was some students that could have been exposed to and taught a rule of grammar that would enable them to conclude that there was an error in the sentence.
Now, is this going to change the way that you evaluate your questions in the future?
I really wouldn't say that because our questions undergo a very intensive evaluation. A couple of dozen folks would have actually looked at this question at some point during its development, from the time it was first written through editing, through various expert reviews of the question by various committees that we have set up to ensure that they are accurate and have one correct answer. And that process has held up very well over the years. So while every once in a while, a rather subtle distinction is identified that can lead us to a situation like this one. It happens very, very rarely.
Now, this is the second one, as you mentioned, in the decade where you've found an error. How many people write you with what they think are errors?
That's a very good question that I don't have the data to support right now. We get a fair number of inquiring questions from both students and teachers for the PSAT, SAT, AP exams, and other exams that the College Board administers, although in most cases we are able to defend the questions fairly fairly quickly, and very few of them move on for this kind of external review that we submitted this question to.
But there's a fair number of people who want instant replay, if you will.
Exactly. Well, it's not different from students in a classroom who, when they get a question wrong, are interested to understand why.
Okay. Now, for those of us who have not had to learn firsthand from living with a stressed-out high school student in recent years, what's the significance of this PSAT test?
The PSAT serves two major purposes for juniors. One is to let them know how well they are prepared for success on the SAT, because the test in many ways parallels the kinds of questions and the material that will be covered on the SAT, and so it gives students a preview, a preparation for the SAT. But I think the more important use, or the use that students often focus on, is that it can qualify them for commendation and semifinalist or finalist status in National Merit Scholarship competition.
Well, Lee Jones, thanks very much for joining us, and thanks also for your openness in acknowledging your mistake publicly.
Well, we will continue to try and do that, and we're really trying to give students the fair shake at everything.
Lee Jones is Vice President of K-12 Development for the College Board, and he was with us from his office in New York City.